time for us to get into our wellness conversation, and we're looking at a treatment that's become very, very popular. I know, actually, when I recently went to go get a facial a couple of weeks ago, I was told the next time I come back, I actually need to do microneedling. And I thought, I don't know that I want needles in my face. I do acupuncture, not in my face, though, in my back, in my neck. But microneedling felt a little bit weird. But I think I'm just a little bit misinformed. And it's just the thought of needles in my face that made me a little bit anxious. Maybe you've had some questions or you're curious about microneedling. That's what we're discussing this morning. If you have some questions, we are joined by award-winning plastic and reconstructive surgeon Dr. Dion Veyers, and we take your calls for the doctor on 011-883-0702, your SMSs on 31702, and your WhatsApp messages on 072-702-1702. Dr. Veyers, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time. So when we talk about microneedling or collagen induction therapy, what exactly are we talking about? What is happening to your skin when you're getting this particular treatment done?
Yes, so it's exactly that. It's a collagen induction therapy, which means that the treatment is there to stimulate collagen production by your own tissue. So what it does is, and we must just also clarify, I get the acupuncture and needles, especially in one's face. In its almost simplest form, microneedling started as these dermal rollers, which are, you know, very fine sort of rollers on a little sort of handle. It almost looks like a shaver handle, and then a very fine rolling action is then executed over the face. And on a very, very sort of microscopic scale, these very fine needles then almost puncture the most superficial layers of the skin. Mm-hmm. And then basically that trauma, that injury, stimulates your cells, the fibroblasts, which are the cells in the skin which produce collagen, to do exactly that. It sets in motion this injury response, brings in the growth factors and the chemicals responsible to stimulate those cells then to produce collagen, and specifically collagen type 1, which is the holy grail in terms of the anti-aging, the youthful form of collagen in the superficial layers of the skin. Mm.
Doctor, you speak about collagen type 1. How many types of collagen are there and how do they differ?
Well, seven, basically, and the collagen one, like I said, is the type of collagen which is just it's just the way the collagen strands are orientated and the length of the actual collagen molecules. For instance, collagen type 3 again is the collagen that you would typically see after an injury. So let's say a burn injury to the skin or a cut on the skin, that is just, with that injury response, it is then a different type of collagen, which is basically being stimulated or being produced. And just because, the collagen then has different strengths to it. So in an injury like that, your body would want to, cover that area quicker with more contraction, shrinking the size of the injury or the burn. Then, collagen, the different collagen differs. The collagen then that you get in joints, for instance, is again different, or cartilage is different, because collagen is one of the most abundant proteins in general in the body. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the ways in which we can then lose collagen? Because there's a lot that's spoken about treatments that either boost your collagen, strengthen your collagen. We're talking about collagen induction therapy. Why would we need, for instance, collagen induction therapy? What would have happened to our collagen? How do we lose it? Does it get weaker?
Yes. So probably from about mid-20s already, collagen starts to decline and decrease. For instance, from the age of 30, there's a reduction in the collagen in the skin of 1% per year. And in females and women in the perimenopausal period, so let's say late 40s to early 50s, in that period, there's even an accelerated loss of collagen. And it's just a normal part of aging. It's firstly your cells, those fibroblasts, the stem cells, and the cells responsible for maintaining that collagen production in the skin, in their number, they start to decrease or decline. And then also in their production, they have a decreased level of or potential of collagen production. Mm-hmm. And that's just a normal part of aging. So if you want to counter that, and if you want to, defy aging maybe, then to maintain your collagen levels by stimulating the cells, in that period, would then delay the aging process. It's quite difficult sometimes to see the results of, let's say, the microneedling or the collagen induction therapy or the collagen supplementation, because you actually don't know what you would have looked like or how you would have aged, let's say 10 years down the line, had you not done it. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely good science and good research to prove and justify its benefits. Mm.
Stephanie on WhatsApp asks, I would love microneedling in my arms, the flabby areas. Is that possible? I know we've spoken a lot about the face, but can microneedling be used on other parts of the body, like the arms?
Yes, definitely you can. So those crepey, you need to go and see also the area that you are treating and what you are wanting to achieve. But those crepey sort of fine wrinkling in the upper back of the arm, or at the top of the knee, those are areas also, or stretch marks are also areas which respond well to microneedling. Another form of microneedling, so we spoke about the roller, but another form is the dermapen, which is a trade name for it, but that's basically a handheld device. And now a cartridge is fitted to the front of it, and then there's a very fine vibration or abrasive action that's...
We've lost Dr. Veris there. We'll try and get him back. If you've just joined us, we are in our well-being conversation talking about collagen induction therapy or microneedling, a cosmetic procedure that's said to encourage collagen production using tiny needles. Have you tried microneedling? I haven't. I've been avoiding it. It has been suggested that it's not a bad idea, but I've just been a little bit afraid of trying it. Or maybe you would like to try it, but you have some questions. We do have Dr. Dion Veras back on the line. Doctor, a very good morning to you. Apologies, we lost you there.
Sorry about that. So what I wanted to say, the microneedling, the other form is this donut thing, which is the or handheld device, which does the same job, but just a bit more powerful. That can also be used besides for areas like you mentioned, the arms, and also I said the knee stretch marks. It can be used over surgical scars. So often for our patients, after having their surgical procedures at about 6 weeks, we start with microneedling there again to convert this in type 3 collagen to type 1 and improve on the quality of a scar. But in those areas, there's another form of needling, and it takes it to an even more advanced level, if I can put it that way, or intensity, where the needling is combined with radio frequency. So a treatment there that a lot of people might be talking about is called Morpheus or Morpheus 8. And here, instead of it being like a roller of needling, here it's a punch needling device, so a handheld machine device, and then only at the tips of the needles, once it's punched the system, radio frequency, so heat energy, is delivered at the tips, which even has a greater response in terms of more powerful collagen production and a tightening effect. So for your question there, in terms of arms and other body parts or body areas, maybe even radio frequency, microneedling like the Morpheus will even have a better response or a better result or outcome.
Dr. Judy has a question on WhatsApp and says, could your guest please tell us about the latest treatment for bags under the eyes? Could that be treated with microneedling, or would that use something else?
So really, probably not so much for microneedling. If you think about what the bag under the eye is, it's actually the fat which sits around the globe of the eye, the ball of the eye, which as one ages starts to bulge or protrude a little bit, push a little bit more forward, and then from the outside it is perceived as a bag. So if you can think about where that comes from, the depth of that, microneedling is not really going to have a great effect on reducing or improving on the appearance of the bag of the eye. But treatments which will, or where microneedling, let me put it this way, will have an advantage or a place is in the very fine wrinkling, again, those very fine sort of crisscross, crepey wrinkling on the lower eyelid. That's not so much the bag, therefore the excess skin. That's where microneedling will have a place in improvement by tightening up that skin and improving the texture.
Are there people for whom microneedling isn't necessarily recommended? So people with particular skin conditions, perhaps?
Yes, you have to be very cautious in patients with a history of keloid formation. So remember, keloids is a condition, and it occurs more in darker skin types. So if you think about the different skin types, it's graded from type 1 to type 6 commonly, and 1 being, you know, very fair, freckled, blue eyes, up to type 6, which is darker skin type. And you must be just cautious in patients who might have a history of keloid formation, where in a scarring, so if there's an injury, the scarring process in the body basically doesn't know when to switch off. And then the scarring continues to occur. For instance, I don't know if you sometimes some individuals who might have piercings at the ears, and they then develop this, you know, from, you know, a piercing, it can develop into a mass, almost like a tumor of just scar tissue, and that we call a keloid. Now, in those patients, you must, again, if we're going to be creating, although it's controlled with the microneedling, injury response, a trauma response, then in that process, you must be careful that you're not going to induce or spark or set off this whole keloid situation in that individual. So that's one thing I definitely would suggest. And the other is also over the area that you're treating, you don't want to have areas which might be contaminated. So active acne, those areas should be avoided. But in areas that might be old acne scarring, there again, it might have or should have a beneficial effect. So those are two off the cuff conditions which I would say would be very important.
And how many treatments would you need to start seeing results? Would it be a once-off thing? Would you need to do it a few times? Is it a long-term thing? And also, once you've had your session, is there any downtime? Would you need to, you know, be away from work or school? Or, you know, do you have your procedure and then you carry on with your day?
Yeah. So, good questions on that. You know, typically after a full treatment, I would usually prep the patient half an hour before in that area with the topical, so topically apply numbing gel or numbing cream for about half an hour, because there is some discomfort to it, although it's not, you know, that uncomfortable. It's more like a scratchy sensation. It's really not unbearable, but just provide that extra comfort. That's what we do. And then afterwards, the patient will, in that area, the skin will almost look like a severe sunburn for about a day, sometimes 2 days. So I would, you know, reckon that, especially if you're having a full face, not to have to reckon to the next 2 days in terms of downtime. So don't, you know, arrange any big social events or functions straight after having a needing treatment. In terms of the maintenance and you know, what to expect, So for induction, to start for the treatment, if you haven't had microneedling before, my suggestion would be at least about 4 treatments, 4 weeks apart, so a month apart. And then after that, depending on the individual's response, maybe 1 treatment every 3 to 6 months. But like I said, also with microneedling, the other aspect to consider is that you won't always see a massive improvement, a massive difference from 1 month to the next. But if you don't do it, if you don't maintain from the age of 30 your collagen production and use pollen induction. Like I said, in 10 years' time, had you not done it, you won't know what you would have looked like in terms of aging, you know, and compared to someone who didn't do it and who the collagen was just left to decline. So, yes, it's also not always a treatment where with just plain microneedling there's a massive difference from one to the next, but it's definitely a good maintenance treatment in general, especially, like I said, from 30 onwards, and to supplement it with a healthy diet or the collagen supplementation, because that's what you know, that's what you're doing. I'm a big believer in just in general for collagen supplementation, but when it comes to this treatment and where you want it to stimulate the collagen production, I think there's good merit and good value to commit to having collagen extra.
Dr. Veers, a question here from Makoma says, morning, I have a scar on my eyelid. Could something like microneedling assist with scarring, but particularly on an area like the eyelid, where I guess the skin is quite thin? It's not like your skin everywhere else. Could microneedling be something they could use there?
Yes, it potentially could. Actually, on the thin skin is more, the thinner the skin, the more, easier or better the response usually with our treatments, superficial treatments. But one question there is just, you know, what's the duration? The longer the scar has been there, the more it's been established, the less likely your treatments and your, like, laser or peels or needling or your gels, your silicone treatments will become. But that's for the individual then to assess. If we're typically in the first year, then, you know, there will still be, should be good potential for the scar to have a favorable response. But the other aspect also that I would suggest is that they maybe consider first a test elsewhere, maybe on the forearm, maybe behind the ear, just to see what the skin's response will be. And that there, like I said, that there's no excessive scar tissue formation, such as with a keloid. And if that test passes, if I can put it that way, then yes, I do think that there's good merit to consider microneedling, even in the skin of the eyelids.
Doctor, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We appreciate your time.
Anytime, it's only a pleasure.
Thank you so much. That's award-winning plastic and reconstructive surgeon, Dr. Dion Veers, joining us to speak to us about collagen induction therapy or microneedling.